brothers and sisters, to promote better understanding and integration on similarities between religions, as well as living in real harmony along with the differences the Islamic Research Foundation presents. Today's talk on Concept of God in Major Religions by Dr. Zakir Naik.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Respected elders and my dear brothers and sisters, I welcome all of you with the Islamic greetings. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May peace, blessings and mercy of Almighty God be on all of you. So non-Muslim may be wondering that what was I murmuring, or uttering in the beginning of my talk. I was not trying to mesmerize you or hypnotize you, but I was reciting few verses of the Holy Quran from Surah Taha, chapter number 20, verse number 25 and 28. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty God, asks Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, to deliver the message to the Pharaoh, Moses, peace be upon him, he prays to Almighty God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and recites these verses. Rabbish wali sadri. O my Lord, expand my breast for me. Expand my center for me. Wayassirli amri. And make my task easy for me. Wahlul ugdata min lisani. And remove the impediment from my speech. Since we know that Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, was a stammerer, was a stutterer. So he prays to Almighty God to remove the stammering, to loosen his tongue, as well as remove the barrier, if there is any, between him and the person to whom he is going to deliver the message. If a person is giving a talk on other religions, most people in the audience who do not belong to that religion, they may think that this person is going to speak against their religion. For example, if suppose a Hindu is giving a talk on other religions, the non-Hindus may feel that he is going to speak against my religion. If a Christian is giving a talk on other religions, the non-Christians may feel that he is going to speak against my religion. Similarly, I being a Muslim, when I am giving a talk on other religions, the non-Muslims may feel that I am going to speak against their religion. That's the reason I'm praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Almighty God, to loosen my tongue as well as remove the impediment, the barrier, mental or otherwise, if there is any between me and you. The topic of this morning's talk is Concept of God in Major Religions. Religion, according to the Oxford Dictionary, means a belief in a superhuman controlling power, especially a personal God or gods that deserve obedience and worship. The Qari, Bidashat Muhammadi, he recited two verses of the Holy Quran from Surah Al-Imran, chapter number 3, verse number 54, which says, Qul ya ahlal kitab, say to the people of the book, Ta'alu ila kalmatin sawa'in bainana bainakum, that come to common terms as between us and you. Which is the first term? Allah na'budu illallah, that we worship none but Allah. Wala nushrika bihi shay'an, that we associate the partners with him. وَلَا يَتَّقِذَ بَعْضُنَ بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِنُّ لِلَّهِ, that we elect not among ourselves lords and patrons other than Allah. فَإِنْتَ وَاللَّهُ, it then be turned back. فَكُلُّ شَدُوا, say we bear witness, بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ, that we are Muslims bowing our will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a verse of the Holy Quran which shows you a way how to speak with people of different communities. It says, تعالوا إلى قلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم, that come to common terms as between us and you. Which is the first term? Allah na'budu illallah. That we worship none but Allah. Wa la nushrika bihi shay'a. That we associate the partner with Him. One thing common in all the major religions of the world is that the God they worship, they believe He is the same God for them as well as for the others. For example, the God which the Hindus worship, they believe He is the same God for the Hindus as well as for the non-Hindus. The God which the Christians worship, they believe He is the same God for the Christians as well as for the non-Christians. Similarly, the God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we Muslims worship, we believe He is the same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Muslims as well as for the non-Muslims. The major religions of the world can be broadly classified as Semitic religions and non-Semitic religions. The non-Semitic religions are further divided into Aryan and non-Aryan religions. The Semitic religions are those religions that are followed by the Semites. Who are the Semites? The Semites are the descendants of Shem, who was the son of Prophet Noah, peace be upon him, which is mentioned in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, chapter number 5 to chapter number 11. The Semitic religions are those religions that are followed by the Jews, by the Arabs, by the Assyrians, by the Phoenicians, who speak Hebrew, Aramaic, Arabic, Akkadians, Phoenicians, etc. The major amongst the Semitic religions are Judaism, Christianity and Islam, all of which are prophetic religions. The non-Semitic religions are further divided into Aryan and non-Aryan religions. The Aryan religions are the religion followed by the Aryans, a group of Indo-European speaking community which spread in Iran and northern India in the first half of the second millennium BC, that's 2000 to 1500 BC. The Aryan religion is further divided into Vedic and non-Vedic religions. The Vedic religion is Brahmanism, which has been given the misnomer of Hinduism. The non-Vedic religions are Sikhism, Buddhism, Jainism, etc. Amongst the non-Aryan religions, we have those of the Chinese origin, like Taoism, Confucianism, etc. Those of the Japanese origin, like Shintoism, etc. But most of these religions, they do not have a concept of God. Therefore, they are practically called as ethical systems instead of religions. As far as my talk will be concerned, I will be speaking about the concept of God in major religions of Semitic and Aryan origin. To understand the concept of God, the best and the most accurate way is to analyze their religious scriptures and understand what it has to speak about God. Trying to analyze the concept of God by looking at the followers is not always correct, because most of the followers, they themselves do not know what the scripture speaks about God. So let's analyze today the concept of God in major religions by analyzing their religious scriptures. First we'll discuss the Aryan religions. Hinduism is the most popular of all the Aryan religions. And if you ask a common Hindu that how many gods does he believe in, Some may say 3, some may say 33, some may say 1,000, while the others may say 33 crores, 330 million. But if you ask a Hindu learned man who knows his religious scriptures, he will tell you that the Hindu should actually believe only in one God. The major difference between the common Hindu and the Muslim is that the common Hindu believes in a philosophy known as pantheism. That is, everything is God. The tree is God, the sun is God, the moon is God, the snake is God, the monkey is God, the human beings are God. The Muslim believes that everything is God's. G-O-D with apostrophe S. Everything belongs to God. The tree belongs to God, the sun belongs to God, the moon belongs to God, the snake belongs to God, the monkey belongs to God, the human beings belong to God. So the major difference between the common Hindu and the Muslim is the apostrophe S. The Hindus say everything is God, and the Muslims say everything is God, G-O-D with apostrophe S. If we can solve this difference of apostrophe S, the Hindus and the Muslims will be united. How do you do it? As the Quran says, Ta'ala ila kalmatin sawa'in, bayan of anything. That come to common terms as between us and you. Which is the first term? Allah na'abuda illallah. That we worship none but Allah. Wala nushrika bihi shay'an. That we associate the partners with Him. So let's analyze the concept of God in Hinduism by analyzing their religious scriptures. The most popular amongst all the Hindu religious scriptures is the Bhagavad Gita. This is a copy of Bhagavad Gita in the IRS. We have, alhamdulillah, more than 30 different translations only of Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita says, in chapter number 7, verse number 20, that those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires, they worship the demigods. That means the materialistic people, they worship demigods. That means not the true Almighty God. The Upanishads are the other sacred scripture of the Hindus. It's mentioned in the Chandogya Upanishad, chapter number 6, section number 2, verse number 1. Ekam Evaditya. God is one only, not a second. That means there's only one God. He doesn't have any partners. He is alone. Same as the Holy Quran, which is mentioned in Surah Ikhlas, chapter number 112, verse number 1. Qul huwallahu ahad. Say He is Allah one only. It's mentioned in the Shweta Kotara Upanishad, chapter number 6, verse number 9. Na kasya kasdi janita na kadipa, which means of Him there's no parents nor Lord. He has got no parents. He has got no masters. That means He alone is sufficient. He is not dependent on anyone else. As the Holy Quran says in Surah Ikhlas, chapter number 112, verse number 3. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He begets not, nor is begotten. The quotation I gave from Upanishad was translated by S. Radhakrishnan. And we have other translations also in our foundation. Further, if you read in the Shweta Satara Upanishad, chapter number 4, verse number 19, it says, Na tasya patima asti. There is no likeness of Him. Same as the Holy Quran, Surah Ikhlas, chapter number 112, verse number 4. Walam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. There is nothing like Him. It's further mentioned in the next verse of the Shweta Satara Upanishad, chapter number 4, verse number 20, that His form cannot be seen. No one can see Him with the eyes. Similar to the message is given in the Holy Quran, in Surah An'am, chapter number 6, verse number 103. No vision can grasp Him, but He graspeth all vision. He is beyond comprehension, yet He is acquainted with all things. Amongst all the religious scriptures of the Hindus, the most sacred are the Vedas. And there are principally four Vedas. The Rig Veda, the Yajur Veda, the Sam Veda, and the Atharva Veda. The Rig Veda deals with songs of praises. The Yajur Veda deals with sacrificial formulas. The Sam Veda with melodies, and the Atharva Veda with magical formulas. It's mentioned in the Yajur Veda, chapter number 32, verse number 3. Na tasya patima asti. There is no image of him. And the verse continues and says that he is unborn and he should be worshipped. It mentions in the Ayurveda, chapter number 40, verse number 8, that God is bodiless and pure. It mentions in the Ayurveda, chapter number 40, verse number 9. Andhasma pravishanti ya sambhuti apaste. Which means they are entered in darkness, those who worship the Asambhuti. The Asambhuti are the natural things like air, water, fire. And the verse continues. They are sinking more in darkness, those who worship the Sambhuti. The Sambhuti are the created things. The quotation I gave of Yajurved was by Devi Chand, as well as by Ralph T. Griffith. The other Veda is the Atharva Veda. It's mentioned in Atharva Veda, book number 20, chapter number 58, verse number 3. It says, Dev Maha Oshi, God is verily great, same as Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. Amongst all the Vedas, the most sacred and the oldest is the Rig Veda. It's mentioned in Rig Veda, book number 1, hymn number 164, verse number 46. Sages call one God by many names. That means there are various names given to this one God. And the Rig Veda alone gives no less than 33 different attributes to Almighty God. Most of which are mentioned in Rig Veda, book number 2, hymn number 1. And one of the beautiful attributes which is mentioned in the Rigveda of Almighty God is Brahma, which is mentioned in the Rigveda, book number 2, hymn number 1, verse number 3. Brahma means the creator. If you translate into Arabic, it means Khalik. We Muslims have got no objection if anyone calls Almighty God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Khalik, or creator, or Brahma. But if someone says that Brahma is Almighty God, who has got four heads, and on each head is a crown, and he has got four arms, the Muslims take strong objection to it. Moreover, it is even prohibited in the Yajur Veda, chapter number 32, verse number 3, which says, Na tasya patima asti. There is no image of him. And a beautiful attribute, which is given in the Rig Veda, book number 2, hymn number 1, verse number 3, is Vishnu. Vishnu means the sustainer. If you translate into Arabic, it means Rabb. We Muslims have got no objection if someone calls Almighty God as Rabb, or cherisher, sustainer, or Vishnu. But if someone says that Vishnu is Almighty God, who has got four hands, and one of his right hands holds the chakra, that is the discus, and one of his left hands holds the conch, and he's riding on a bird, or reclining on a couch of snake, the Muslims take strong objection to it. You are going against the Yajur Veda. Chapter number 40, verse number 8, which says, God is bodiless, as well as Upanishad. Chapter number 4, verse number 19 of Shweta Svatara Upanishad, which says, Na tasya patima asti. There is no likeness of him. It's mentioned in Rig Veda, book number 8, hymn number 1, verse number 1. Ma chidangadi chanchata. That means, do not worship anyone besides him alone. Praise him alone. It's mentioned in Rig Veda, book number 5, chapter number 81, verse number 1. It says, "Verily great is the glory of the divine creator." Same as Surah Fatiha, chapter number 1, verse number 2. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the world. It further mentioned in Rig Ved. Book number 3, hymn number 34, verse number 1. It says that He is the bounteous giver. It further mentions in the Yajur Ved, chapter number 40, verse number 16. It says that lead us to the good path and save us from the sin which makes us wander and go astray. Similar to the verse of the Holy Quran of Surah Fatiha, chapter number 1, verse number 6 and 7, which says, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-lazina namta alayhim, ghayr al-maghdubi alayhim walad-dallin. That shows the straight path. The path of those who have earned thine favor and the path of those who go not astray. It's mentioned in Rig Ved, book number 6, hymn number 45, verse number 16. Ya ik it mushtihi. Praise him who's matchless and alone. The quotation I gave from the Rig Ved was by Satya Prakash Narayan and Satyakam Vidyalankar, as well as by Rawls T. Griffith, Volume 1 and Volume 2. We have various translations of religious scriptures of various religions. So whatever quotation he gives, if anyone wants to verify that the speaker is pulling a fast one, they are most welcome to come to our foundation and take a photostat copy. And all these translations which I gave to you is not done by Muslims. It's done by the people who follow that religion as well as by Orientalists. The Brahma Sutra of Hinduism, of the Vedanta, the main creed is Ekam Brahman Dushya Naste Niya Naste Kinchan. Bhagwan Eki Hai, Dusra Nahi Hai, Nahi Hai, Nahi Hai, Zara Bhi Nahi Hai. There is only one God, not a second one, not at all, not at all, not in the least bit. So if you read the Hindu scriptures, you will understand the concept of God in Hinduism. Let's discuss the concept of God in Sikhism. Sikhism is a non-Semitic, Aryan, non-Vedic religion. Though it has a small following as compared to the other major religions, it is an offshoot of Hinduism. Sikhism was founded by Guru Nanak Sahib at the end of the 15th century, and it originated from the area of Pakistan and northwest India, that's Punjab, the land of the five rivers. And this religion, which was founded by Guru Nanak Sahib, is religion of 10 gurus. The first one who founded the religion is Guru Nanak Sahib. And the last and the 10th one is Guru Govinda Sahib. Guru Nanak Sahib was born in a Kshatriya, warrior caste family, but he was very much influenced by the Muslims. Sikh is derived from the word Sishya, which means a disciple or follower. And the sacred book of the Sikhs is Sri Guru Granth Sahib. This is the book, Sri Guru Granth Sahib. And the Sikh has to maintain his 5 K's. The first K is the kesh, the uncut hair which all the gurus kept. The second is the kanga, the comb, which is used to keep the hair clean. The third is the kala, the metal or the steel bangles used for strength and for self-restraint. The fourth is the kirpan, the dagger, which is used for self-defense. And the fifth is the kachya, the long underwear, the knee length, or underdraws, which is used for agility. These five K also help in identifying an effect. The best definition that any Sikh can give regarding the concept of Almighty God and Sikhism is quote the Mool Mantra, the fundamental creed of Sikhism, which occurs in the beginning of Sri Guru Granth Sahib. At the beginning. That is, of Sri Guru Granth Sahib, volume number 1, chapter number 1, verse number 1, is also called as Japuji, Mool Mantra. It says that only one God exists and is called by the true, the creator, the one free from fear and hatred, the immortal, not begotten, self-existent, great and compassionate. Sikhism strictly believes in monotheism and Almighty God in the unmanifest form is called as Ek Omkara and in the manifest form he is called as Omkara. And Guru Granth Sahib, he gave various attributes to this manifest form of Almighty God, Omkara, and called it also as Kartar, the Creator, Akal, the Eternal, Satyanama, the Holy One, Sahib, the Lord, Parvardigar, the Cherisher, Rahim, the Merciful, Tareem, the Benevolent, and he also called him as Waheguru, one true Lord, one true God. Sikhism, besides believing in monotheism, it is also against Avatarvada, the concept of incarnation of God. They are against that God can take human form, can incarnate. And they are also against idol worship. Guru Nanak was very much influenced by Sant Kabir. No wonder if you read the Guru Granth Sahib. Several chapters contain many couplets, dohas of Sant Kabir. And one of the famous dohas of Sant Kabir is Dukh mein sumran na sab kare, sukh mein kare na koya. Jo sukh mein sumran na kare, to dukh kaay hoye. Everyone remembers God during trouble. No one remembers Him during peace and happiness. The one who remembers Him during peace and happiness, why will he have trouble? Similar message given the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Zumar chapter 39 verse number 8 that man when trouble touches him he cries out to the Lord and repents to him and when the Lord bestows him from his mercy the man forgets that he has prayed and cried and he associates a violence to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's discuss the concept of God in Zoroastrianism. Zoroastrianism is a non-Semitic, Aryan, non-Vedic religion which is not associated with Hinduism and it's a prophetic religion. Zoroastrianism is also called as Parsiism and it was founded by Prophet Zoroaster. It's an ancient religion of Persia, about 2,500 years old. And the sacred scriptures are the Dasatir and Avesta. The Dasatir can be further divided into Khurda Dasatir or Kalan Dasatir. And the Avesta can be further divided into Khurda Avesta or Kalan Avesta, the Maha Avesta or the Zend Avesta. This is a copy of the Avesta, one of the volumes of Avesta. And there are various other translations of the Avesta present in the Islamic Foundation. The Zoroastrians, the Parsis, they call Almighty God as Ahura Mazda. Ahura means the Lord, God. Mazda means wise. Ahura Mazda means the wise Lord or the wise God. And he has been given several attributes and names in the Dasatir. For example, he is the only one. He has no beginning, no origin, and no end. He has no father, no mother, no wife, no son. He has got no image. This is beyond imagination. There is nothing like him. No vision can see him. He is beyond comprehension. He is closer to you than yourself. There are also other attributes given to Almighty God in the Avesta. The other sacred scripture of the Parsis, it's mentioned Avesta in the Gathas and the Yasnas. He's called as the Creator in Yasna, chapter number 31, verse number 7 and 11. And also in other places, in Yasna, chapter number 44, verse number 7, chapter number 50, verse number 11, chapter number 51, verse number 7. In several places, he's called as the Creator. He's also referred as the Mightiest, the Greatest. In Yasna, chapter number 33, verse number 11, as well as in chapter number 45, verse number 6. He is referred to as the Beneficent in the Yasna, in chapter number 33, verse number 11, as well as in Yasna, chapter number 48, verse number 3. He is referred to as the Bounteous, no less than 7 times only in Yasna, chapter number 43, verse number 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13 and 15. He is also referred as the Bounteous in other places of Yasna, chapter number 44, verse number 2, chapter number 45, verse number 5, chapter number 46, verse number 9, as well as chapter number 48, verse number 3. He is referred to as Bounteous several times. So if you read the scriptures of the Parsis, you will understand the correct concept of Almighty God in Parsism, in Zoroastrianism. Now let's discuss the Semitic religions. Major Semitic religions are Judaism, Christianity and Islam. First we'll discuss about the concept of God in Judaism. It's mentioned in the Old Testament. Moses, peace be upon him, says, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, verse number 4, Shama Israelo Adno Ilahaino Adna Ikhad. It's a Hebrew quotation, which means, Yoro Israel, the Lord, our God, is one Lord. That means God is one and only. It further mentioned in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 43, verse number 11, I, even I, am Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 45, verse number 5, I am Lord, and there is none else. And I am God beside me, who there is no one. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 46, verse number 9, it says, I am Lord, and there is none else. I am God, and there is nothing like me. It's further mentioned in the book of Exodus, chapter number 20, verse number 3 to 5. It says, that God Almighty says in the scriptures, thou shalt have no other God beside me. Thou shalt make unto thee no graven image of any likeness, of anything that is in the heavens above, that is in the earth beneath, and that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, the God, is a jealous God. Same message is repeated in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 5, verse number 79, that thou shalt have no other God besides me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, that is. It's further mentioned in the book of Exodus, chapter number 20, verse number 3 to 5. Said that God Almighty says in the scriptures, thou shalt have no other God beside me. Thou shalt make unto thee no graven image of any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, that is in the earth beneath, and that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord,
Almighty God is a jealous God.
The same message is repeated
in the book of Deuteronomy,
chapter number 5, verse number 79.
That thou shalt have no other God besides me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, that is in the earth beneath, and in the water beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, the God, am a jealous God. So if you read the Old Testament, you will understand the concept of God in Judaism is believed only in one God and is totally against idol worship. Before we discuss the concept of God in Christianity, I would like to make a few points here. Islam is the only non-Christian faith which makes it an article of faith to believe in Jesus, peace be upon him. No Muslim is a Muslim if he does not believe in Jesus, peace be upon him. We believe that he was one of the mightiest messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of Almighty God. We believe that he was born miraculously, without any male intervention, which many modern day Christians do not believe. We believe that he gave life to the dead with God's permission. We believe that he healed those born blind and leper with God's permission. The Christians and the Muslims, they are going together, hand in hand. But there are parting of ways.